Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, as it does every Monday, we have Chief Deputy Shane Tucker from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Andrew, it's good to be here again.
Hey, good to have you, as always. So, anything interesting, or I guess that's code for bad, happen over the weekend that we don't already know about?
You know, over the weekend, we had our normal stuff, domestic violences and disturbances and things like that. Nothing too major, nobody getting seriously hurt. You know, probably the most exciting thing we had last week was the juveniles that were arrested in Pace for burglarizing vehicles.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, because I know that's been an ongoing thing for the last several years in both counties. Were they from Santa Rosa? Were they from Escambia? Do you know?
My understanding is these were local fellows. These teens were from the local area, and you're right. That's been going on my entire career. We've been plagued, to be honest with you, with juveniles going through neighborhoods and a crime of opportunity, finding purses and valuables and unlocked cars and taking them. I mean, I remember dealing with that when I started back in the 90s. So I don't know that this is going to change anytime soon.
So I know, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office is a big push, lock your doors at 9 o'clock. They've been doing it like every day for as long as I can remember now. You guys emphasize the same thing. Lock your doors. Don't keep valuables. Certainly don't keep guns in your car. But is it always just the unlocked car, or is it also the car that's simply in the driveway? I mean, will they actually break into cars, or is it only opening doors that are open?
Almost never. Over my entire career, out of thousands of burglaries that I've been involved in, either directly or on the periphery, out of thousands, there's been a few where they actually physically broke something to get into a vehicle. It is almost always an unlocked vehicle. They don't want to make the noise. They don't want to take the time, and they don't want to do the things and exert the effort they have to exert in order to break into a vehicle. When there's so many unlocked vehicles, there's just it's astonishing how many people leave their cars unlocked at night.
And the real goal here is to find money, valuables, guns. That's the primary thing, right?
Right. And the way they look at it in their mind, it's quick, it's easy, and there's relatively low risk. Most people are asleep at this time of the morning or, you know, late at night. And as long as they're quiet, very, very limited opportunity for people to catch them. And, you know, smashing windows and things like that would certainly alert dogs and alert people
right. That
something was going on.
And you'd have
that's
alarms.
Another reason why they don't break into cars.
So,
and alarms and things like that, of course.
So how'd you catch these guys? Was this a surveillance video? How did you get them?
Well, there was a call of some suspicious people. So when deputies arrived, they started looking in the area, and they actually located some individuals. And when they went to talk to them, they all took off running. Now the deputies were able to catch them and coordinate through a perimeter, and were able to catch three juveniles, and they did recover some of the stolen property.
Okay, so they caught them with the property, and so they could connect them to the crime. So, all right, well, good police work. You know, just having eyes
absolutely.
On the car in, and somebody had to call them because there's suspicious activity. So it takes the citizens too, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Your canine guys went over to Navarre over the weekend, I think, for a Santa Rosa Children's House event. Is that right?
They did. Santa Rosa Kids House had a fundraiser. From what I understand, it's an annual event. And our canines, about four or five of our canines went over there to kind of just show off a little bit and let people see what it is those guys and gals do and how amazing they are. So that's always a big draw. People like to see those dogs and their handlers. So we're real proud to get any opportunity that we can to show them off.
And, I mean, anything that's a positive, a happy thing around, you know, just whenever I think about, you know, Santa Rosa Kids House or, you know, here, it's such a frustrating thing that it has to exist. But thank God they exist. You know, I wish they didn't,
absolutely.
But thank God they do.
Without a doubt. You know, what the Santa Rosa Kids House does, the service they provide for this area, honestly, it's really immeasurable. You cannot, I don't believe you can quantify what it is that they do.
Yeah, it's as I say, amazing and yet awful that it has to exist in the first place. Hey, I wanted to ask you, you know, I know the commission approved the funding for the extra patrols on Tiger Point. We actually passed one of your officers driving on the Garcon Point Bridge the other day on Saturday, so I know you guys are out there doing that. Have the patrols, I mean, it seems to me like you're not having to enforce as much success, right?
Right. You know, back in 1829, when Sir Robert Peel came up with his nine principles for good policing, one of the things that he noted, one of the points, was the standard by which we judge our policing is by the lack of crime and disorder. You know, so that tells me that something's going right, the fact that we're not having to respond as much and deal with as much as we were some time back. So I think the initiative that we've taken, you know, assigning people there and taking an aggressive approach on violations has at least in some manner improved that situation. And I have no doubt that putting more people in the Tiger Point area is only going to improve that efficacy.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, even if it doesn't even, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a real officer with real enforcement ability. It could be like the ag guys, you know, who've got the cars that look vaguely like a cop car. And, you know, when they're near you on the road, everybody's slow. Everybody comes to a full and complete stop. It's just that I know it's probably not an issue, but I don't want to get caught doing something stupid. Well, there you go, right? That's just, that's deterrence.
That's it. And that's exactly what it does. You know, when I'm driving down the road and I see a marked police vehicle, I, just out of habit, I look at my speedometer to make sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be. So I have no doubt that reaction is experienced by most of our motoring public.
Yeah, it's pretty much universal. Well, Chief Deputy Shane Tucker with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, we certainly appreciate your agency and what you do to keep us safe. Thanks so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thank you, Andrew. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You bet. Morning, 8:21, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and the Seminole gaming deal that's going to have to come back for a special session for the legislature. It's really interesting. I had not been following this all that carefully. Alex Andrade got me to pay more attention to it by explaining just how much money it could mean for the state. Basically, what they're going to do, right? The you know, a tribe has the ability to game with casino games on its territory. Clearly, that's true. But also, this one is an expansion of them to do parimutuel wagering on sports betting. So it would actually be off the tribal lands. It would be at any of your parimutuel wagering facilities, and it would be able to bet on, you know, basketball, football, whatever, at, you know, basically your off-track betting kind of places or your, you know, your wagering places if they enter into agreements with them. The reason it becomes legal, theoretically, is because the Seminoles would house the servers that do the transactions on their lands. But if the wagering itself is done, well, that's the question. Where is the wagering done? Now, it's geocache limited to the state of Florida is going to be part of the plan. And it's also going to, I guess you can do it on an app as well. But is the transaction at the servers or is it at the place where the person is standing? And if it's, in fact, at the place where the servers are, then why does it have to be geocached to Florida? I mean, these are all interesting questions. What's going to happen is the parimutuels would get 60% of the betting revenue, 40% would go to the Seminoles, and then the tribe would pay 14% on net winnings to the state of Florida. It's a huge amount of money that could potentially be coming our way. Two problems. Number one, will the feds basically agree? Because the feds have to sign off on this. Seems likely that they will, except for this question legally of whether it's happening on their land or whether it's happening somewhere else in the state of Florida. That's one issue. So the Interior Department has to deal with this. The other is that back in 2018, we passed that amendment. Remember the amendment that said that the Constitutional Amendment, Amendment 3, that said that any expansion of gambling in the state of Florida would have to come with prior citizen approval. Like, we'd have to vote to allow expansion of gaming. So it would seem like this is a no, but if you read the language of that statute, it very clearly says an expansion of casino style gambling, and it even goes into detail of some of the games that they're talking about. So is it lawful without a citizen referendum to expand gambling non-casino style, rooted in Indian lands like the Seminole tribes? Well, I think yes, but there's definitely going to be lawsuits. There's definitely going to be lawsuits about this if it gets approved by the legislature and then approved by the feds as well. 823 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
More help on the way as India is battling an explosive surge in coronavirus. The White House sending military planes loaded with supplies and oxygen. That country has more than a third of the world's new cases. A new travel ban into the U.S. starts tomorrow. The widow of the late Senator John McCain says the ongoing Arizona GOP election recount effort is ludicrous.
The election is over. Biden won. I know many of them don't like the outcome, but, you know, elections have consequences.
Cindy McCain on CNN's State of the Union. The Arizona Senate voted to seize the ballots in the state's largest county for a hand recount. NASA's Mars helicopter gearing up for a new mission. Its fifth flight will not be returning to where it is now. Instead, Ingenuity is going to land at a new site, becoming a scout for the nearby Perseverance rover.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Did you watch the splashdown over the weekend? The Panama?
At 2 a.m. outside? Yesterday? No. Yeah.
No, me either. Now, this is the first crewed SpaceX return on this design, right? That's the first one? Because it was the first crew to go up, and now the first crew to recover, right? Because before it was not crewed, right? Did I have that right? I may be wrong.
We recovered people out here off the coast of
See, that's what I
Pensacola.
Thought, but now I'm, yes. So now I'm confused. What was special about this one, other than it was a night recovery?
It was the first nighttime.
Okay. Right. Either way, I'll take it.
And, you know. And they'd also spent 6 months in space.
Oh, that's right. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'll take it.
Should the president start following these guidelines and stop wearing a mask outdoors, stop wearing a mask indoors when with small groups of other vaccinated Americans to show the American people there's a benefit to getting the vaccine? You can take the mask off.
Jake, you know, it's interesting that you raise this. I myself found that I was still wearing my mask outdoors this week because it has become such a matter of habit.
Okay, I think that's true, but still we're supposed to adjust to the guidance, and I know I'm pretty eager to stop wearing my mask. Nobody likes wearing these things, right? You're weird if you do. So Anita Dunn, senior advisor to the president, getting pressed by Jake Tapper, why doesn't he take his mask off when he's outdoors with other vaccinated people or indoors with other vaccinated people? But then she went on and essentially contradicted that.
But I would say that people should follow the CDC.
Oh, sorry, that was here's the part that matters.
I think the president takes the CDC guidelines very seriously, and he's always taken his role as sending a signal to follow the science very seriously as well. You know, we do take some extra precautions for him because he is the president of the United States.
Dude, no. I mean, either the vaccine works or it doesn't work for people. Extra precautions. Yeah, put them in the bubble. No, I mean, you're saying the science isn't. You're saying that we got to have this extra layer of just in case. No, the whole point is that if you're vaccinated and you're around vaccinated people or you're outdoors, go ahead. According to the CDC, and I say even more liberal than that. Oh, my goodness. You can't have it both ways. It's not just out of habit and misguided if it's also because of extra precautions for the president, not based on the science. Oh, man. Just take the mask off, bro.
Your money now. The stock market is open. The Dow is starting this day and this week up 234 points, 34,109. The Nasdaq's up 41 at 14,003, while the S&P is up 21 points at 4202. Opening statements get underway today during the first day of a landmark civil trial filed by Epic Games against tech giant Apple. Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite, suing Apple on claims that it's used its mobile operating system to stifle the growth of its competitors. About 80,000 New York City workers have been told to return to their offices today, but some say it's just not safe yet. Demonstrators gathered at City Hall over the weekend, asking the mayor to reconsider his reopening plan. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says most American families won't pay more in taxes under President Biden's infrastructure plan. On Meet the Press, she recommended closing tax loopholes so corporations pay their fair share. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right. It's Monday. It's coming up on Mother's Day. It's, I'm about to enter some dangerous territory here. The reason is because I'm about to settle a McKay family household intermarital dispute on the radio. Never a good plan. This is a terrible idea. Young Davis, as you're preparing to embark upon the marital realm, I recommend that you don't go to everybody else to solve your marital disputes.
Okay.
Just a That's piece a good of idea. Life. So I'm about to break this very important piece of life advice. All right. 437-1620. My wife and I disagree about something. Happens all the time. No big deal. You agree about everything. You're redundant. And we found that we disagreed about something over the weekend. It seems like a small thing maybe to you, but, you know, in a marriage, things can get, a little larger than life. Question for you, Davis.
Okay.
All right. I live on, let's say, the west side of the street in my neighborhood. You live directly across from us on the east side of the street in our neighborhood. Are you or are you not my next door neighbor?
I've never looked at it that way. So I would say no. We're not
Wait,
next
yes
door.
Or no?
We're not next door neighbors. Okay. We're not next door neighbors because you're not next door.
So we completely agree. It's very simple.
Am I about to get some hate from your wife now?
No, she would never.
Because we've always gotten along.
She would never blame you for this. She would absolutely blame me for this. We were talking about a house that's across the street from us, and she led with the house next door. And I'm like, wait, do you mean the one next door? Or do you mean the one across the street? And she said, well, the one across the street next door.
It's not next door.
It's not next door. But this is, and I started to think about it, and I started to think, well, what does it really mean, and where does this word come from? Because like anything, you know, you get so attached to certain terms. 437-1620. My question for you is the house across the street a next door neighbor? 437-1620. 437-1620. Because in my mind. And here's where it got weird for me is, you know, when you start to press on something that you take for granted and then you're like, but I'm not really sure why I'm so attached to that. Because to me, next door is the person on the right or on the left on my side of the street. You never have more than two next door neighbors. Period. That's it. It's the door next, right or left. That's it. The person behind you is your backyard neighbor. The person across the street is your across the street neighbor. You know, when we lived in the St. Louis area, my wife's mom and her husband lived across the street. They were not next door neighbors. They were neighbors, but they lived across the street. I would never describe that as being a next door neighbor. And it's kind of, I'll tell you why my wife's adorable, because immediately in this conversation, she adapted to saying the house across the street. Out of deference, because she's awesome. But I could also tell there was a little tiny part of her that was like, You know how sometimes you win for losing or lose for winning? You know, like you can regret winning.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the house across the street. No, she didn't do it quite like that, but you know that's how sometimes people do. 437-1620. Somebody here texts in, nope, just neighbors, not next door. And somebody here says, nope, it's the neighbor across the street, Team Andrew. I'll take it. 437. This is terrible. This is going to cost me. Should not be doing this. But the other question, okay, that goes along with this, and feel free to disagree, by the way. I'm married to a woman who disagrees. That's fine. I'm not offering you marriage if we disagree. I'm just saying that's I don't have any problem with people disagreeing with me, even that I love dearly. The question is, what's your neighbor? How broad of a concept is your neighbor? And I don't mean in the biblical sense, like everybody's my neighbor. I just mean, like, who starts to not be in your neighborhood, or who starts to not be, like, how far away do you start to
be? Okay.
Because I tend to think, like, my street is my neighbor. Within about five houses, if I'm counting, that's my neighbor. Now, my wife thinks the neighbor is anybody in the neighborhood, which is a couple hundred houses. I don't think of the people that are, like, three streets away, 50 houses counting in a row are my neighbors. 437-1620. I mean, yes, biblically, but not, you know, geographically. Davis?
So I live in an apartment complex, and I'm thinking, okay, my neighbor, frankly, I think is everyone that lives in that community.
The whole community.
I think the whole... Now, when I lived in my old neighborhood, which I had a whole street of people, pretty much anyone on that street, but anyone outside of that street, not really. But anyone that's on my street that I could walk by and say hi to, most definitely I consider them my... neighbor.
All right. Yeah, it's weird. I don't tend to think of people in my neighborhood two streets away as being my neighbors. I mean, push come, I'd probably say they live in my neighborhood. I just would. I start to feel uncomfortable. And by the way, this is the nature of language. You know, language is fuzzy. Language is sloppy. Language is a lot of gray. But that's why I think it's fascinating, because we communicate through this medium of sloppy, gray, fuzzy, fuzzy terminology. Somebody here says a neighborhood is everybody in my subdivision. Somebody here says neighborhood is neighbor. Okay. And just neighbors, not next door, by the way, if they're across the street. That was the original premise of the conversation. Somebody here says, let's see, if you're down the street, you're not my neighbor. Oh, interesting. Somebody here says neighborhood, neighbors. Oh, you know, you think you're cute. Input, new world, we are all each other's neighbors. Well, everybody's my brother, right? 437-1620. Somebody says waving distance, three or so houses on either side. If you can wave to them, they're your neighbor. So on a rural road, nobody's your neighbor because you can't see them. Jeff is on the line at 437-1620. Jeff, first question, let's pre-qualify you for consideration. Is the person who lives across the street my next-door neighbor or not?
Yes.
Oh, no. Well, you're probably going to get everything.
Yes, I agree.
You're with
Andrew,
my wife.
Andrew, I agree with your wife.
Well,
I agree with your wife. Let me tell you something. There's an app called the Next Door Neighbor app, or Next Door.
Next Door.
And everybody in our little community neighborhood is on that app. So are you telling me that the Next app has got it wrong?
Well, I noticed that you had to falsify the information to make your contribution, because you called it the Next Door Neighbor app. It's not called that. It's just called Next Door. There's no neighbor mentioned.
Okay, you got me there. But Next Door... I mean, come on. If I live in Cordova Park, next door is not the whole community, but, you know, maybe they got their app name wrong.
And by the way, I think it's a smart move by anybody to be on my wife's side. So that's a good plug for you, Jeff.
Thanks for the call, man.
437-1620. The neighbor's house across the street can be one house number away. It could technically be considered the next door neighbor because, like, if I'm, you know, 6001, they might be 6002. So they're close in number. So they are the next door in number. All right. I mean, that's a... I'll take that. I'll take that as a filing. I'll take that as a communication. You know, that's it's an amicus brief, okay, to the court. So I appreciate that. 437-1620. And somebody says, too bad we can't ask Mr. Rogers. He would give us a definitive answer about that. Fair enough. That's our frivolous segment for the day. We argue about things that don't matter and possibly jeopardize our marriage in the process.
If you can't handle the flames, I'm hustling. I was born to win. Ain't never Let's start with what I will not do. I will not impose any tax increase on people making less than $400,000. But it's time for corporate America and the wealthiest 1% of Americans to just begin to pay their fair share. Just their fair share.
Now, we played this clip before. This is from that joint session, joint address to Congress, not quite the State of the Union, because, you know, your first year, you don't really do a State of the Union. It suddenly struck me, why 400,000? Like, why is that the break point? He's always talking about 400,000, right? As you know, not taxing people who make under 400,000, not increasing tax on them, only increasing taxes on the people over 400,000. So why is that the break point on the number? And I will give you what his answer is, and then I'll give you a different perspective on this. Okay, I think his answer would be that's the top 1% of all earners, and why 1% is the sudden threshold, unclear, but I think that would be his answer, is the top 1% runs somewhere in that vicinity. But it is interesting to know, what does the president make? what's the president's income? $400,000, right? So he's not going to increase taxes on people who make what he makes or less. And I will say, so I don't think it's actually for that reason. But here's what I do think. I think in Joe Biden's mind, it's a very human perspective. In his mind, rich people are people who make more than he makes. And if you look at his tax returns, now in recent years, he's made more money. In the last 3 years since being out of office, he's actually made a lot. $11 million in 2017, $4.5 million in 2018, and $950,000, $405,000 in 2019. But if you go prior to that, he never made over 400,000 but 1 year, 2013. Going backwards, from 2016 backwards, 396, 392, 388, 407, 385, 379, 379, 333. It's very consistent when he was in the Senate, making under $400,000 a year. So here's my theory. You can say 1% all you like. I think in Joe Biden's mind, like most people, wealthy people are people who make more than I make. You know, if you make 30 grand, you think 40 grand is wealthy. And if you make 500,000, you do not think 40 grand is wealthy. If you make 500 grand, you think 600 is wealthy. And if you make 5 million, you don't think 5 million is wealthy. Typically, you think, wealthy people, 10 million and up. That's just human nature. So I think whether it's, you know, rooted in any good economics or not, I think in Biden's mind, he's only taxing those wealthy people, I put in air quotes, who make more than he makes. 437-1620, 437-1620. It's 8:53 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hey, one of the more interesting things that happened over the weekend is the Manchester United folks staged such a riot at the game that they had to postpone it. They invaded the pitch. They're upset because the owners were part of the, they're also in the Tampa Bay Bucks, they were part of the ownership team that was pushing for that Super League, you know, and they were very angry about that, so they want them out of ownership. Man, talk about being hated. Same thing for the owners of Arsenal, they're also the owners of the LA Rams, and it's just, it's kind of interesting to see people stage a riot, stage a protest where they go on the field and actually prevent the game from being played. So we'll see how this plays out, but they are certainly not well liked. Also, I guess there was a bunch of debt rolled onto the team when they acquired the ownership of it. I'm not intimately familiar with all the details there, but I think that's part of it as well. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Yeah, madness that did occur over there for sure, and it's credible because these fans are people who are diehard supporters. Like you won't find many dedicated supporters of a certain sport.
There's not a lot of moderate soccer fans in England.
No, it's either you love soccer to where you're insane about it, or you just don't watch it.
I've been to these games. It's a madhouse. It's fun, but it's a madhouse.
I want to go. I want to experience that. But yeah, that's exactly it. They don't want the game to go big like that. They want it to still be theirs. Anyways, that's football we're talking about, English football. How about American football? The draft occurred over the weekend, finally wrapped up. So all seven rounds went by, and we had two locals go. On Thursday, or Friday, I should say, we had mentioned that Alex Leatherwood, who went to Washington High School, went in the first round, 17th overall. Well, on Saturday in the fourth round, we had another local get drafted. Who was it?
And with the 107th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the New York Jets select Michael Carter, running back, North Carolina.
Also out of Navarre High School. He was an All-American out of North Carolina. Set records while he was there. In fact, I remember a game against Florida State, ran for over 400 yards in that game. Had himself a terrific career. Looking forward to see what he can do with the Jets. Also, the Kentucky Derby.
Bob Baffert does it again! Medina Spirit has won the Kentucky Derby!
Medina Spirit, who was trained by Bob Baffert, won the race, and that gave Bob Baffert his seventh Kentucky Derby. So, joining the likes of Tom Brady with their seventh championship, and the Kentucky Derby is considered like the granddaddy of them all. I know I went back to a football reference to the Rose Bowl, but it is a great race nonetheless. And one of my bucket list items to go see a race there. That's our quick shot of sports. Now, I do want to mention in traffic on the fives, we have a new accident on I-10. This is actually, if you're in Alabama, you're traveling eastbound trying to get to Florida, there is an accident over there kind of near the Wilcox Road exit. Just past that is where the accident is eastbound. So keep an eye on that. Did receive a phone call about that. Was someone wondering what was going on. We have another accident too, westbound on I-10, right as you're approaching Avalon Boulevard. This is backing up delays all the way to the Garson Point Road Baghdad exit, so we'll keep an eye on that. But again, another accident, this time westbound as you're trying to get to Avalon Boulevard. Avalon Boulevard northbound delayed, backed up all the way to Garson Point Bridge. Garson Point Bridge is going southbound, is checking in clear. If you're traveling on Gulf Breeze Parkway trying to get to Garson, both directions, east and westbound, are showing delays there, so let's use patience. Also, caution as we are approaching these accident scenes. I'm Davis Allen with you, traffic on the fives.
Here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Future news when Davis Allen and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Santa Rosa mask mandate. Well, they did.
It's done.
It's done. It's recommended, not mandatory anymore. So I guess that one's passed. Will the gaming bill pass with the Seminoles and the sports betting? Will that actually pass?
It will.
I do think it will. Will it be challenged legally and survive those challenges?
I think it will definitely be challenged and it will survive.
It'll be challenged. I do think it'll survive, but it's going to be a little bit tight. We've got car insurance reforms. No more PIP going forward, assuming that the governor signs it. Will we have a reduction in car insurance rates here in Florida?
I hope.
I certainly hope so, and I do actually believe that that's going to be the case. Will there be a significant chlorine shortage with pools this summer?
I think we'll be okay.
Mild shortage. Yeah, there's a surge in demand because of COVID, and also there was that plant that went offline last fall, so there is going to be some kind of an issue with that. And will Michael Carter be good with the Jets?
Yes. Absolutely.